That's 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 to 31. The body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts, and though all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Now the body is not made up of one part, but of many. If the foot should say, "Because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body," it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. And if the ear should say, "Because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body," it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has arranged the parts of the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, "I don't need you," and the head cannot say to the feet, "I don't need you." On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable, and the parts that we think are less honourable we treat with special honour, and the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has combined the members of the body and has given greater honour to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honoured, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. And in the church, God has appointed first of all apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then workers of miracles, also those having gifts of healing, those able to help others, those with gifts of administration, and those speaking in different kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? But eagerly desire the greater gifts. And now I will show you the most excellent way.
Loving Father, please help us as we turn to your word to understand what you'd be saying to us in our particular situation here at Emmanuel Church. And please be at work in us by your Spirit to humble our hearts to hear and receive the things that you would say to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So as we've said this morning, we're taking time to think about how we serve. And in case you're wondering, what I'm going to say in the next 15 minutes isn't going to help you improve your game of tennis, nor will it help you present a plate of food at a dinner party. But I hope that it will help us all to think about the responsibility that we each have as God's people to play our part in the things that God is doing in us and through us here at Emmanuel Church. We often talk of ourselves, rightly, as a church family. And like any family, we all have a part to play in serving each other. In this letter to the Corinthians that Jamie just read for us, Paul's writing to a church that's in trouble. It's a divided church and an unloving church. The Christians there were proud and selfish, and the way they were behaving was damaging the church. And so in this chapter, chapter 12, Paul's showing them how they should think and how they should act if they're to be the church that God had called them to be. And what he says applies to all churches, which is why we're going to spend some time reading it and thinking about it together this morning. It's actually one of Paul's favourite images for the church, the body. And he gives us three principles of church life. So here's the first. It's unity. Please look down at verse 12. Paul writes there, "The body is a unit. Though it is made up of many parts, and though all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ." So Paul's speaking of a basic principle that's true of every church congregation. The body is one. It's a unit. That's how we think of our physical bodies, isn't it? Of course, our bodies have many parts. Fingers, thumbs, toes, eyes, ears, mouths, liver, lungs, stomach, heart, bone, skin, muscles, tendons, and so on and so on. But we don't think of our bodies just as a kind of collection of individual parts. We think of our bodies as a whole. My body. We might think of it as an aching body or a flabby body, but nonetheless, we think of it as a whole. And Paul's saying that we need to think of church in that same way. We are one, a unit. Of course, there are many parts, but we're not just a gathering of individuals. We're each a part of the whole. Together, we form a body. If you're new to the church, I guess that idea may take some getting used to in such an individualistic culture as our own. But the reason's there in verse 13. "For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink." Well, Paul's talking there about conversion. When we become a Christian, it's the work of the Holy Spirit within us. All believers have the Spirit. The Spirit lives within each one of us. And it's his presence in us that unites us all in Christ and makes us one and brings us into that new experience of being members of a body, Christ's body. So that's the first principle of church life, unity. We are one, we are a unit. The second is diversity. Look at verse 14. "Now the body is not made up of one part, but of many." Well, Paul's stating the obvious, isn't he? The body doesn't just have one part, nor is it made up of many parts that are all the same. It's made up of many different parts. And likewise the church. We're not all the same. We're all different. You just need to look around to know the truth of that. But that diversity can be challenging. There may be some who feel inferior. Now, that's what Paul's addressing in verse 15. "If the foot should say, 'Because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body,' it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. And if the ear should say, 'Because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body,' it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body." The point's clear, isn't it? No one should say, "Oh, I don't belong here because I'm not like so-and-so. I don't have the gifts that so-and-so has. I can't do the things that so-and-so does, so I don't belong here." That isn't true. Every part belongs to the whole. And every part has its own function and its own contribution to make. All the different parts are needed. We all matter. And no individual member should suffer an inferiority complex because they're not similar to the other parts. So verse 17. "If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has arranged the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. See, the moment we start to feel inferior, we're just a short step from feeling that we don't belong, and from drifting away. The result is that the body is damaged and divided. But if no member should suffer an inferiority complex, equally there is no place for superiority. Verse 21. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honourable, we treat with special honour. See, every part of the body is necessary. And so, if you'll allow me a rather silly illustration, my eyes might be able to see a delicious breakfast of sausage and eggs laid out and ready to eat in front of me. I can assure you that my mouth would be watering at the sight. That's just my kind of breakfast. But I don't just want to look at it and admire it. I want to eat it. So I also need my legs to carry me to the table. My nose might be able to smell the aroma of fresh coffee. But it's one thing to smell the coffee. I also need my hands to hold the cup and raise it to my mouth. Each part of my body has a different function, and each part is vitally important if I'm going to enjoy that breakfast. But if one part of my body stops playing its part, well, then I can't have my sausage and eggs, can I? If my legs won't take me to the table, or if my hand won't raise the coffee to my mouth. And if I've got my eyes shut, then I won't be able to see where I'm going, and I won't make it to the breakfast table. If I've got my arms crossed, then my mouth may be open, waiting for that food to arrive. But there's not going to be anything to put in it, is there? Each part matters. Now, there's no place for inferiority or superiority in the church. We all have a part to play, and every part is necessary. So that's unity and diversity, and our priority, therefore, is harmony. Verse 27. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. Now there's something breathtaking, isn't there, about watching an athlete or a gymnast or a dancer when every part of their body is working together in total harmony. With a common cause. And that's how it should be within the church. And we are the body of Christ, and each one of us really does belong, and we each have a part to play, and we depend on one another. And so where would we be on a Sunday if the church hadn't been tidied by the cleaning team? Or if the musicians didn't turn up? Or if no one wanted to come and give a warm welcome at the door and hand out service sheets? Where would we be at our church events if we didn't have a catering team? Or if no one offered to help set up tables and chairs? How would we teach the gospel if no one wanted to serve as a home group leader or help out in Blaze or in Sunday Club? Each of us belongs, and each of us has a part to play. But what we contribute depends entirely on the gifts that God has given us. That's the point of verses 28 to 31. Now, that's just one list of gifts that God gives to his people. There are other lists in the Bible. So this isn't an exclusive list. But the point is that God gives each of us different skills and talents and abilities and gifts. And we're to use them in different ways. But what he gives us, we are to use. And we're to use so that each part of the body is doing its bit and working in harmony with the rest for the good of the whole and for the cause of the gospel. So that's a very quick look at one passage in the Bible that teaches about who we are as a church, how we should think of ourselves, and how we should act. But what is that going to mean for us as we think about serving today. Well, serving in the church is always costly and sacrificial. But we need to remember Jesus' words in Luke chapter 22. He says, "I am among you as one who serves." See, when we serve one another in the church, we're treading in the footsteps of our Lord. We're following his example. And although it will be costly, as it was for him, it also brings great blessings. Now, there'll be many here who can testify that it has been during periods of sacrificial service that they've grown as Christians. Their faith has become more real somehow as they've put it into action. And serving side by side for the sake of the gospel is a great way to get to know each other better and to have fun together and to feel more and more a part of the body as we get more and more involved. But this will apply to us all differently when we get to the specifics. There'll be some who are already doing all they can. And there may even be some who are doing more than their share, who need to step back. And that's fine. And we're all very grateful for all you do. Now, there may be some who feel they've done their bit in the past and they can't do as much now. And that may well be true. We serve in different ways at different stages of life. But please don't think that that means there's nothing for you to do now. You still belong to the body. You're needed by the body. And you still have a part to play. Now, there may be some who have served faithfully in one area of church life for many years, but who could also contribute in other areas of church life. And there may be others who want to get involved, but who don't know what they'd be any good at. Well, one way of finding out may be to try asking someone else what they think. And sometimes other people can see our gifts far more clearly than we can. And if that doesn't work, why not just get involved with something? And find a way to serve, and it will soon become clear whether God has given you the gifts you need for that particular area. And you may even be surprised by the gifts he's given you. And there'll be some who aren't doing their bit. Now, that may simply be because you haven't been asked to before now. Or because perhaps you thought you didn't have anything much to contribute. Or perhaps because you're new to faith and haven't been with us long. Well, this passage is saying that you matter to us and you're needed and that there is a part for you to play if you're willing. So please do get involved. Well, we'll spend a little bit of time looking at what the Bible says, but the point of this is that we each need to think and pray about this whole area for ourselves. That's why we've set aside this Sunday, to help us to do this. Not so that I can tell you what you should be doing, but so that each one of us can be thinking and praying about how we're serving in the church and whether there is new ways in which we could be doing so. So let's spend some time as a church thinking and praying and asking God to guide us. In a little while, we'll spend a little bit of time thinking about some of the more practical areas, some practical examples of ways that we can get involved at serving here, the opportunities to serve, and hopefully that'll be helpful. But we're going to pause, first of all, before we do that, and we're going to sing again. We're going to sing of our Lord Jesus Christ, whose example we follow, the one who came to be our servant king. Well, we've looked at what the Bible says about us as a church family, and how we're to relate together and to act as a church family. I want to spend some time now thinking in some practical ways about opportunities to serve in the church family. You may be very well aware of the many things going on, or you may know fairly little of the different things going on. So the intention over the next few minutes is just to give an overview or a flavour for the opportunities there are to serve in the church. We can't go into everything in detail, but we're just going to interview a few people and hear about a few different areas in church life and the ways in which we serve and can continue to serve together. But firstly, I want to say thank you very much indeed. We've got the next slide Thank you, Sasha. Oh, we haven't got that side. Never mind. I did have a side that said, thank you very much. But you've heard me say it. Anyway, thank you very much to all of you, because I know that we are a church in which many people are serving in many different ways already. Please don't mishear me to be saying that we're not doing that already, because I know that we are. And I want to say thank you very much for all who serve in the church in the many different ways that you do that. And I'm also aware, of course, that there are many who serve outside of the church in things like Hope Kitchen and street passers and so on. And I'm grateful for the ways in which we're able to be involved in those different things. But what I want to do now is think about some of the different areas of ministry here at Emmanuel and the opportunities to get involved and to serve. And the first I thought we'd think about is the practical things that need doing week by week. It's probably fairly obvious on a Sunday morning that there are a number of jobs that need to happen for us to meet together as a church family. So we have welcomers, have people operating the sound desk and song pro music group and so on. There are lots of practical things that need doing on a Sunday, and of course there are lots of opportunities to serve there. But there are lots of other things that go on that may be less noticeable. So for example, there's a cleaning team that comes in every week to clean the church building. And we always appreciate more people coming and joining that. There's a catering team, a number of people who volunteer to help cater at different church events and things going on. We have some lovely ladies who come in and arrange the flowers in different ways at different times of year. And another one of the teams that kind of come under this practical heading would be the gardening team. So I've just asked Tony if he would come and say a few words about the gardening, just as one example. Let me give you that, Tony. Now, this may be a fairly obvious question, but Tony, let me ask you, what does the gardening team do?
We garden.
I asked for that.
Essentially. it's not heavy work. The lawns are generally done during the weeks, so we aim to meet sort of the first Saturday of the month. We do any pruning, any planting that needs doing, essentially just keeping on top of things. It's very light work. There's no heavy digging.
So who could serve on the gardening team?
Anybody, really. At the moment, it's a very compact group. There's just a few of us. So anybody, if you've got a pulse, we'll take it, really. it's really not heavy work. So
great, thank you.
Anybody that wants to.
And how much work is there to do at this time of year?
Nothing really. It will probably start up again about March, April. It kind of dies off from sort of November to March, really. So you get a bit of a respite.
Okay, but you'd be looking to have a team of people ready to go.
Yeah, we really need a couple more volunteers ready to sort of start up again in March, April time. And we normally do sort of, we try to get together the first Saturday of the month for sort of 2 or 3 hours, really.
Brilliant. Thank you, Tony. That's great. We'll do. So that's just a little flavour of one area of church life. As I said, under that kind of heading of practical ministries, there are many, many areas. That's just one that we've heard of. And there are many opportunities in those different other areas to serve in similar ways. That's practical ministries. Rachel's going to come now and speak a little bit about children's ministry. I'll let her take over.
Great. If I could ask Jess to come and join me up here at the front, that'd be brilliant. You may be aware, you'll know, especially if you sit at the back of church, that our children's work is burgeoning and growing. We've had lots of new babies, which is wonderful. We've got toddlers. We've got children right through up to the age of 15 in the church, which is fantastic. And that means that we could really do with help in this area, quite urgently, actually. Areas just to list before I ask Jess some questions that we need help in are the creche on a Sunday, at the Sunday club, down at the hall. We'd love to have two groups again as we see the creche children growing older. We need that transition. It's always changing, so we'd love some more people for that. Buttons on a Friday, and there's also a mum's group that has a Bible study and has a creche on a Thursday morning. And again, we always need people for that too. And we'd love to run daytime Christianity Explored groups for people who have children. So in a sense, there's no end to the need, in a way. Jess, but I'm just going to ask you a few questions about the value, what this the value of the children's work is, both for the children and for their parents.
So particularly having things on a Sunday, so things like the creche and the the creche and the Sunday club on a Sunday really actually help us mums by giving us an opportunity to stay in the service and actually get some teaching. I can see quite a few of us mums actually in here, which is great, because otherwise if they weren't there, we would be out of the service every week. And it's really, really good for the kids as well, because our kids are growing up together. Our kids are getting to know each other. They see each other at least once a week. And more with the mums group on a Thursday, which again is another opportunity for us mums to get some more teaching. Our kids are growing up together, and hopefully they can encourage each other to, as they carry on with their Christian life. You know, each one of us mums are going to be trying to encourage that in our children and the dads, you know, and it would be great for them to have people around them that they can talk to as well. Kids of their own age, friends, Christian friends.
Absolutely. Brilliant. If I could ask you something else. You and Alex have been involved with children's work really before you had Esther, and now as you've had Esther, you continue to do that. Why do you continue to be involved? How has it helped you personally in your faith and so on?
Well, particularly for us, I come from a big family, and in a big family, you tend to just jump in and help with anything anyway. So actually, when I serve here, I feel like part of the family. In a lot of the things that I do, I get a chance to speak to everyone, or at least most people. So it really helps me to feel like part of a family, and I think the same goes for Alex as well. And obviously, we have different gifts. I'm kind of good with food, and Alex is good with music, so we can share that with other people.
Thanks, Jess. Just last quick question. What qualifications do you need to do children's work? To some people that might seem a bit, I'm not sure that's me. What would you say to that?
Nothing. In comparison to most of the women here, I've been a mum for 5 minutes, and neither of me or Alex have ever had any training with kids before coming here. So, nothing.
Great. Thank you, Jess. Thank you. So if you feel you could get involved in that, or just want to know a bit more about it, do come and talk to me or Jess or anybody involved in the children's work. And I'm going to hand you back to Martin.
Great, thank you. So we thought about practical areas of serving, helping with the children's work and helping to look after and care for the growing number of children we've got here, which is wonderful. We're going to think a little bit more specifically about the youth now as well. I'm going to ask Michael to come up and just talk to us a little bit about what's going on with the youth work and opportunities to serve in that area as well. Great. So, Michael, to begin with, what is there for teenagers at Emmanuel?
Okay, we have two groups at the moment. The first is Blaze, which is aimed at years 6 to 10-ish, so that's ages 11 to 15. This is both for the church kids and for just kids from the local area. Come along, have a lot of fun, games, crafts, a Bible talk every time, and a bit of discussion about it as well. For the older kids, so probably in the region of 14 to 16-ish, we also have a youth Bible study, which happens before the service on a Sunday, which is more of a chance for the young people to get together to talk about their faith, to study the Bible, and to really encourage each other and spur each other on in their Christian lives.
Great, thank you. Now, I guess for many of us, the thought of working with teenagers is quite a daunting thought. Why should we think about getting involved with the youth work here?
I'd say, first of all, with Blaze particularly, it's incredibly important because so many of the kids around here haven't heard the Bible at all. They don't know anything. And it's one of the only ways they're going to hear anything about Jesus. So it's really, really important to really try and teach them. Also, I'm sure you're all aware, being a teenager isn't always a fun time. It can be tough, particularly if you've got a faith which distinguishes you from others. Standing up for Jesus, being individual and distinctive, can be really tough. So it's really important, I think, to encourage our young people in their walks with the Lord. But thirdly, I'd say it is brilliant fun, particularly if, like me, you've never really grown up. It's normally not considered socially acceptable to throw eggs off a church tower or give people a custard pie in the face. If that appeals to you, then you might be the kind of person we want.
Brilliant. And how can people get involved?
First of all, with Blaze, we can always use more hands. Don't worry, you won't be asked to do any teaching or anything up the front to start with. Helping run games, getting drinks ready, just getting to know the kids a bit would be great if you feel that's what you'd like to do. Providing more support for the youth Bible study as well, if leaders on holiday or away, any extra pairs of hands there would be great as well. Also, practical help. Often we'll need help with a bit of catering for one-off events, transporting kids to and fro. That's always very helpful. That might only be once or twice a year you'd help with that, but if you're willing, that's great. But most of all, I'd say prayer is the best way you can help us. We're doing God's work, but we really need his help with everything we do. So if you could be praying for everything we do, that'd be brilliant as well.
Great. Thank you very much, Michael. Great. Thank you. So a really encouraging work that's being done with the young people, and a lot of ways to get involved. So please do think about that as well. I'm going to hand back to Rachel for our fourth area, which is visiting and encouraging.
In 1 Corinthians 12, verse 28, which is the passage we just heard just now, it talked about various gifts, and one of them was simply the gift of those able to help others. And that can be in a variety of ways. And I just wanted to say a little bit about visiting and encouraging. So that could be visiting somebody in their home or in hospital or in a nursing home, wherever they might be. Or it might just be sending them a message, maybe sending them a card, an email, a text, if they're into that, or on Facebook, something like that, as simple as that. So there's lots of ways of being in touch with one another as a family, just like you would with your own family if somebody was not able to get to church or to meet up with you. And a visit or a message can make such a difference. Now, I know a lot of this goes on anyway in the church, informally, whether it's just through friendships or home groups or serving teams and so on. But there's always a danger, isn't there, that if somebody's out of sight, they can be out of mind. And I know that's true for me. So I have to kind of remind myself, actually, there are people there who could really, would value some contact of some sort. Now, I was going to interview Cynthia, but she's safely out in the creche at the moment, serving away there. So I'm just going to talk, with her permission, about some of the things I've just observed in her and Graham and the way that they served in this particular area of visiting and encouraging. I've seen Cynthia taking many opportunities. Just to me personally, she sent me cards and has been good at following up and asking me how things are when she knows I've been having a tough time or something's been happening. And I've seen her doing that with Buttons mums too. So just as she's week by week got to know the mums, she's phoned them and texted them and brought them along to things if we've had guest events and so on. So it's just taking that time to invite and just make sure that they're included. She's done babysitting when perhaps some of the young families here have wanted to go out for a night. It's very difficult to get out when you've got a small child. So that's a way that she's served, just enabling to encourage them so they can spend time together or get along to a church event or something like that. And I know that Cynthia and Graham offer a sort of taxi service as well, an informal one, to many people in the church, which is really valuable, just giving lifts to people who would otherwise not be able to get along to things. So again, if we've got cars, that's something in a sense that we can do. And also providing meals for people sometimes too, when we've had people who've been off for whatever reason, an operation or just been housebound. That's another way that I've seen them and others in the church serving too. And Cynthia was very quick to say to me, actually, I'm not the one who's giving all the time. I receive a lot too. So she told me about conversations that she's had with people, perhaps some of the older folks who are not quite so mobile, just the way that they've encouraged her by just sharing something of their faith, some encouragement they've had, or just telling her that, you know, they're praying for her or whatever. So these are just some of the ways, I guess, as we think about this big, big subject, comes in many guises, that we can perhaps get alongside people, either by visiting them, perhaps listening to them, letting them tell us how they are, saying a prayer with them, maybe if we have confidence to open the Bible with them, pointing them to a verse or something like that. It makes such a difference. And we'd love to help people do that more and more at Emmanuel, if we're a family. And I know that's not always easy, so we'd love to just help people do that by giving a bit of training, maybe a few ideas, and just coordinating a bit of that in the future too. So if you're interested in that area, perhaps you think, I'm not even sure what I would do, come and talk to me, and I could give you some ideas and we could talk it through. Okay, I'm going to hand back to Martin.
Thank you, Rachel. As I said, the purpose of today isn't for me to stand up here and tell you all what you should be doing. The purpose of today is to help us all kind of take stock, to think about the ways in which we're currently serving in the church and whether we need to start doing a little bit less or could be doing a little bit more. But it's for each of us to think that through and to pray about it together. I would just like to say, if you are thinking of getting involved in an area of service, that would be great. Please don't think that you need to be an expert. You don't need to be an expert. We've heard from various people that actually, for many of the things that we do, we just need people who can turn up and help. You don't need to be an expert in anything. But also, can I assure you that you won't be left on your own? Everyone who serves in the church, we hope, gets the support they need. And in most of the areas of ministry in the church, you'd be part of a team. So you'd be serving with other people, alongside them, and having their support and encouragement, and having a lot of fun in with it as well. So please be assured of that. We've just tried to give you a flavour of different ways that you could get involved if you're thinking of getting involved or more involved. I could have had a lot more people up here to interview, to talk about different things going on in the life of the church. So if there's a particular area of church life that you're interested in knowing more about, why don't you find the person who's already involved in that area? If you look on the back of the prayer diary, there's a list of names of people involved in different areas of ministry. Why not go and have a chat with them and talk to them about what's involved? But to help us all, just to use today to take stock of where we are, I've also produced a little form, and I'd really like us all to take one of these home and to complete it and return it in a few weeks' time to a response box that we'll have at the back. This form is just designed to help us all to do what I've just been saying, to think through how we're serving and whether we should be doing more or less. The first part of the form just asks us to think through different areas of church life and just to tick a few boxes, just so that we can see how much we're doing already to serve in the church. And then after that, there are just a few questions. So it may be that for some, as they take stock and review, they realise, actually, I'm doing more than I should be in the church. I need more time to be with my family or my wife, husband, or whatever. As a church, we don't want anyone, do we, to be overburdened or stretched or get stressed or burned out because they're doing too much in the church. So there's an opportunity there to say, actually, I need to do a little bit less, in which case I will come and speak with you and we'll find a way of drawing back from a few of the things that you're involved with. There will be some people who are already serving as much as they can, who can't do any more. So there's a response there that says that. Please don't be embarrassed about ticking that. But there's also a response there to say, yeah, I'd like to talk actually about doing a bit more in the church, maybe for the first time, maybe doing more than I am now, and a few different areas of ministry that you can tick. Please do think whether there are any ways that you could serve in the church, ways that you aren't currently serving, and then that's an opportunity for you to tick those boxes and to put it back in the response box. I want us all to take time to do this, to do it thoughtfully and prayerfully. So we're not going to rush, but I think it would be good if we had a kind of deadline to work to. So shall we work to the 1st of February? That's 3 Sundays' time. So we'll have our giving review next Sunday, and then we'll have 2 more Sundays for us to think and pray about all that we've talked about in the serving review today, the giving review next week, and then we'll all aim to get our responses into the response box, which will be at the back of church, and that will just give us the opportunity as a church family to take stock of where we are. So please take one of those. We'll be giving them out at the end of the service. When we've said the final prayer, please stay in your seat just for another minute, and one of the stewards will come round and make sure that we've all got one of these. Please take it home and think about it and pray about it. For the moment, let me just say a prayer, and then I'll hand back over to Rachel. Let's pray. Loving Father, we thank you that in Christ you have joined us together and made us members of one body. We thank you for the gifts and abilities and experience that you've given to each of us. And we pray, please help us to be a serving church in which we all play our part for the sake of the whole and for the cause of the gospel. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Great. Thank you very much, everybody.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, please would you sit down.